At 8:22, this is KERA News. I'm Sam Baker. Texas came in low among states in the NEE Casey Foundation's latest Kids Count rankings. Measuring the well-being of children across the country, Texas ranked number 41 overall. The Kids Count report measures that well-being using categories like economics, education, and health. The state's highest rank was in the education category at number 30. Texas has a higher number of kids who graduate high school on time compared to the national average. Christy Tingle is a research analyst with the Center for Public Policy Priorities.
11% of our high school students didn't graduate on time, but across the U.S., 17% aren't graduating on time, so we're really doing okay in that area.
However, Texas ranked 49th on the number of children with health insurance. Tingle said the state also ranked nearly as low in the family and community category because a high number of Texas children live in high-poverty areas.
When kids live in high-poverty areas, they typically lack access to good schools, good community resources, kind of all the tools that they may need to grow up successfully.
The Kids Count report also found racial gaps in the well-being of children. African-American and Latino kids in Texas were more likely to live in high-poverty areas. A group of rural school superintendents recently released a report on the state of rural schools in Texas. The goal? Identify challenges and best practices for rural districts across the state. The report includes several recommendations from recruiting educators to addressing teacher isolation. As part of KERA's American Graduate Initiative, Justin Martin talked about the report with Roosevelt Nivens, who's on the Texas Rural Schools Task Force. Nivens is superintendent of Community ISD, which is based in Nevada in southeastern Collin County.
Roosevelt Nivens, thanks for joining me.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
What are some of the recommendations covered in the Rural Schools Task Force report?
One was kind of a grow your own program. And so starting at the middle school, high school level, train students and put them in an environment to where they start learning about the teaching profession, and then they make a commitment to go to college and major in education. And then you make a commitment to those students that when they graduate with a degree in education, they come back, they guarantee an interview, especially in a rural setting, they're probably guaranteed a job because we always want students to come back and pour into their community. It's great when you have a building full of students that graduated from that building. They're familiar with the traditions, they're familiar with the community, and it just makes it all around better experience for everybody.
In metro areas like, say, Dallas-Fort Worth, school districts can draw employees from lots of cities, but often in rural areas, you only have a couple of towns to draw from, unless people are driving long distances to get to work.
Yes.
How do you deal with that? Is it financial incentives, housing incentives?
It could be that. We all know that people just really want to be appreciated and feel comfortable at work, and so we know that a lot of times money is not the end-all, be-all. And so what we try to do, especially in the community, is make an environment where it's a great place to work and great students to work with and great people to work with. For me, education is a calling. It's not really a job. And so you look for educators where it's a calling and where the salary is not that big of a deal. But again, it's an environment that I would thrive in professionally. And so when we look out, we go and we try to offer small class sizes for teachers. In a large urban setting, they may have 25, 30 kids per class. In a rural setting, you can have 14 or 15 students per class. As an educator, you have the opportunity to make the impact on a child's life that you want to have.
In small towns, don't schools play an even bigger role in community life?
Right now, we represent 4 separate communities or towns. And so the school is actually the glue that's going to hold everything, that pulls everybody together, because everybody's, all the children come to that school. And so when we have performances and games, it pulls everybody together. And so what we've done is we made a very intentional effort to make sure that we expose our children to, you know, events and activities that they can get involved in to get more people there. And so our communication, my visibility, and everything has to be the best it can be to make sure everybody is on the same page.
Going over the report, one thing that kind of struck me was kind of unique to the rural school districts was a recommendation was to address community and teacher isolation. Could you talk about that a little?
Well, in a larger school district, for instance, you may have 3 different teachers that teach Algebra 1, the subject. And so education is a very collaborative profession. And so those algebra teachers can all talk. They can collaborate. They can talk about best practices. Hey, this worked for me. It could work for you. But in my school district, I have one teacher that teaches Algebra 1. And so she doesn't have the access to her peers that also teach Algebra 1. And so that isolation is simply, you know, that collaborative piece with people that do the same thing I do on a daily basis, not just teach, but teach my subject. And so we try to address those issues as far as distance learning and professional development opportunities for teachers as well. I will say that Community ISD is a rising star, and we're a sleeper, and I'm so proud to be there. I have 7 board members that they believe the same thing I do about children, and we love them to death, and we want to make sure people know that.
Roosevelt Nivens is the superintendent for Community ISD. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate the invite.
Today on BBC NewsHour, the significance of Panama ending decades of diplomatic relations with Taiwan, and now that it's recognized Beijing. Also, Israeli conductor and pianist Daniel Barenboim, who's a strong critic of Israel's occupation of land the Palestinians want for their future state. He's returning with his orchestra to the West Bank. BBC NewsHour begins at 9 on KERA 90.1. Finally, a programming note. Attorney General Jeff Sessions is scheduled to testify this afternoon before the Senate Intelligence Committee. Live NPR coverage of the testimony begins at 1:30 here on 90.1. You can also watch a live stream at keranews.org. As for the forecast, partly sunny skies, a bit warmer today. A high near 92 is expected. The overnight lows should drop to around 76. That's under partly cloudy skies. And then tomorrow, partly sunny again, also a high expected again around 92. It's 79 degrees in Dallas, 78 in Fort Worth, 75 degrees in Wichita Falls, and 79 degrees in Tyler. This is KERA News 90.1. I'm Sam Baker. The time is 8:30.